This is Brian Cambria with the KVNF Regional News for Monday, November 11th, Veterans Day, 2013. President Barack Obama has nominated Westerner Neil Korns to head the Bureau of Land Management. If approved by the U.S. Senate, Korns will be the agency's first permanent director since May of last year. As reported by the Grand Junction Daily Sentinel, Korns hails from Elko, Nevada, and has already been serving as the BLM's principal deputy director since March. He's also a former advisor to U.S. Senator Harry Reid. Colorado U.S. Senator Michael Bennett praised the nomination. U.S. Representative Scott Tipton used the occasion of the nomination to again call for a balanced approach to public land use and state water rights. According to the Denver Business Journal, Korns helped draft the BLM's plans for developing solar power on federal lands. The Daily Sentinel is also reporting that a coal mine in Moffat County could face nearly $200,000 in fines after a fatal truck accident in 2012. 25-year-old Craig resident Jason Cossack was killed last summer while driving a water truck at the Kalawayo mine. Cossack was reportedly driving up a steep grade when his truck slid back down a hill and hit a berm, ejecting him from the vehicle. Citations from the Mine Safety and Health Administration, or MSHA, revealed Cossack wasn't wearing a seatbelt at the time of the crash. According to the Daily Sentinel, the citations faulted the mine for failing to, quote, maintain an effective program of instruction, end quote, on safety regulations and procedures. The MSHA also claimed Cossack wasn't properly trained on braking, steering, and emergency procedures, and that the mine didn't keep a proper checklist of those trainings. MSHA characterized those failures as, quote, aggravated conduct above ordinary negligence. The citations against the mine were issued earlier this year. According to the Denver Post, thousands of Coloradans along the Front Range are still waiting on insurance checks and limited government money in the wake of September's historic flooding. The Post talked to one uninsured Longmont resident who's lost at least $30,000 in the flood, but so far has only been issued a $9,000 check from FEMA to replace furniture and appliances. According to the Post, FEMA officials say they'll be paying a maximum of $31,900 per claim to uninsured flood victims. FEMA has calculated that fewer than 1 in 13 victims of September's floods were uninsured. Meanwhile, the state of Colorado's chief recovery officer says the average assistance payout so far to victims has been about $6,000. U.S. Highway 36 in Boulder County recently reopened, connecting Lyons and Estes Park. The opening of the road is welcome news to small business owners in both towns who have been hard hit by the recent floods. Closed roads kept tourists and their much-needed dollars away during one of the peak tourism times in this part of Colorado. For some businesses, the financial loss is too much to bear. Some won't reopen, but others are determined to pull through. KGNU's Maeve Conran has more.
So basically, the water came all through our back patio into our back door.
On a typical Friday afternoon, restaurant owner Debbie Anderson would be getting ready for one of the busiest nights of the week. But it's been anything but typical for the Fork restaurant since the September flood. Instead of customers, chairs, tables, and boxes of restaurant supplies populate the main dining area.
We had to clear out our beer cooler and pretty much get rid of the beer that was in there. Our tap lines are covered. There's a lot of dirt and mud and cleaning supplies and all kinds of stuff kind of laying around.
The Fork was one of the few downtown Lyons businesses to suffer physical damage during the flood. But the estimated $60,000 cost to repair the building and equipment, in addition to the $25,000 worth of inventory that was destroyed, is just the tip of the iceberg.
for the rest of the businesses and for all of us, the fact that it's now been over 6 weeks and none of us have had any income, not to mention the thousands of dollars worth of inventory that each restaurant had to throw out that was in their coolers, in their freezers, for us, everything in our basement. And then, yeah, not having any income for that long.
The approaching winter is a tough time for businesses in town during normal circumstances. The restaurant has been closed since September 11th, and Anderson says it's not entirely clear when they'll reopen.
For us, we're having to make a lot of tough decisions. We haven't made a firm decision yet, but we have to try to be smart. We have to look out for our staff, and it's going to cost us, we imagine, about $60,000 just to reopen our doors. Once we get everything fixed and our inventory back in stock. And so I don't know what that looks like for timing. I don't know when it would be smart to reopen facing January and February. And as everybody knows, in the restaurant business is really difficult. So and then I don't know what that looks like for our staff. They all are going to have to get other jobs in the meantime. So I don't know.
Like most businesses and residents in Lyons, The Fork did not have flood insurance. As a business, they're not eligible for FEMA assistance, and they're reluctant to take loans, albeit low-interest loans, from the SBA. Local community foundations have established funds to help businesses affected by the flood. Some fundraisers have also been helpful, providing much-needed financial support, in addition to something that's much more valuable.
It's imperative that we keep putting ourselves out there and making sure that we're not forgotten about. Lyons is the quintessential small town USA. I mean, there are no chains here. Every business that is here is somebody, a small business, one of a kind. They live here, most of them. So there's not a lot of funding that backs that kind of stuff up. So yeah, it's extremely important to make people aware that of our situation, and we're still here and we're all fighting to come back, but we're going to need that support. We're going to need the attention. So just don't give up on us. No, we're coming back and we need you.
Meanwhile, right across Main Street in Lyons, Connie Sullivan, co-owner of the St. Vrain Market, works with her staff to get things back to some type of normality. Despite sales being down 80 to 85% for this time of year, Sullivan says she's optimistic.
I think it's going pretty well. We're encouraged. It seems like every day traffic picks up a little bit more. We are getting calls from people outside of Lyons asking if we're open so they can come in to try to support us. So that's been nice.
Like The Fork, the St. Vrain Market also had physical damage to the business.
We had about 6 inches of water in the store. We had a lot of damage to the exterior, the landscaping, the parking lot, the car wash. So we had to kind of muck out the mud and refinish the floors. We did have to do some repairs to our walk-in coolers in the back, and then a lot of cleaning.
Sullivan estimates the store lost somewhere between $60,000 to $80,000 worth of inventory. They were able to donate most of it to the evacuation shelter so it didn't go to waste, but it's all money lost to this small business.
So we were open a few days in September, obviously, about the first 11 days, and then we were, we started back around the second week of October. Right now we're looking about, we're maybe doing 15 to 20% of our normal sales, so quite a bit less than what we would normally be doing in these months where we have a lot of traffic going to Estes Park. So it's been a big hit. We've only got a fraction of our staff back, but it's encouraging to be here, and it's slowly coming back a little bit at a time.
And you have a big smile on your face.
Yeah, it feels good to be here. It feels good to be in Lyons, and people are so happy when they come in and see us here. So that's what keeps us going.
Like The Fork, many of their vendors have been understanding, donating inventory, allowing late payment of bills. It's that type of support, in addition to the local community, that Sullivan says will help them get through this.
The way we will make it is by people helping us, by supporting us through the winter time particularly. And so that's what we need. We got a little boost of support to get started, but it's going to take some cash flow, from that type of support to keep going.
In Lyons, Colorado, this is Maeve Conran for Rocky Mountain Community Radio.
Montrose City officials are seeking $38,000 in losses as part of a delayed construction claim against Tri-County Water. As The Watch reports, The claim comes after failed negotiations with the company over water lines that were broken last year when new pipes were being installed. The city council claims the breaks were caused by water employees inaccurately marking utility lines. Montrose Public Works Director John Harris said the ruptured lines inconvenienced city workers and area residents, adding that talks with the utility company over the incident had, quote, reached an impasse. The city says the claim would make up for losses of time, man hours, and equipment used after the multiple waterline breaks. The city of Carbondale may soon see a new local brewery. The Glenwood Springs Post-Independent reports the Roaring Fork Beer Company is set to open soon, headed by Chase Engel and his wife, Allie Sangilli. The two say they hope to have their craft beers produced by December and in a local tasting room by February or March. Engel, the head brewer, has previously worked at Ska Brewery in Durango, Oscar Blues Brewery in Longmont, and was most recently the head brewer at Aspen Brewing Company. He says the brewery will focus on one or two regularly available beers and a small batch of seasonal brews. Thus concludes today's newscast. This is Brian Cambria for KVNF News. As a reminder, today is Veterans Day. Now here's Johnny Cash with the Tom Russell song.
Well, I used to hang out down at the VFW hall and stare at the photographs up on the wall of the neighborhood boys that died in the wars we've been through, and the hand-lettered sign that said, "Remember Jimmy McGrew." Well, Jimmy went to NAMM back in 1965, but there's a lot of men here that think Jimmy McGrew's still alive, though they carved his name on a stone in Washington, D.C. His brother said, "That stone don't prove a thing to me." It's Veterans Day and the skies are gray. Leave the uniforms home, 'cause there ain't gonna be a parade. But we'll fill up a glass for the ones that didn't make it through, and leave a light in the window tonight for Jimmy McGrew. Back streets of Saigon, there's an old soldier stumbling down the alley with his mama's son. Lord, his eyes are cloudy and his arms are black and blue. He's just hanging by a thread and he looks like Jimmy McGrew. It's Veterans Day and the skies are gray. Leave the uniforms home, 'cause there ain't gonna be a parade. But we'll fill up a glass for the ones who didn't make it through, and leave a light in the window tonight for Jimmy McGrew. And keep it burning bright, there may still be a lot of Jimmy McGrews over there. But we'll fill up a glass for the ones that didn't make it through, and leave a light in the window tonight for Jimmy McGrew.